We are ready when you are, inshallah. Okay, let us begin, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala wa ba'd, brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome to our weekly Dars of Virtues of Islam. This is lesson number 62 with our Honorable Sheikh, Sheikh Salim Al-Amri. I will pass the mic and the screen to the Sheikh, and the Sheikh will begin, inshallah. فليتفضل مشكورا شيخنا شيخ سالم العمري.
بارك الله فيك جزاك الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters in Islam, today is our weekly class, Fadail al-Islam, Virtues of Islam. And we are talking about the methodology of the deviant sects in Islam. These groups, of those groups that went off the right track. And one of the main characteristics is rejecting the ahadith of ahad, because the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, either ahad or mutawatir. Mutawatir means in each level of the narrators, group of narrators related and conveyed that particular hadith. So when we come to the level of the companions, group of the companions reported it. Then the second level of tabi'in, group and group and group. And the number is up to 10, within the range of 10. And the ahadith that are mutawatirs are not so many, few, to have that condition throughout the level, each level of the narrators, which we call tabaqa. For example, I'll give you an example. The famous hadith that every Muslim knows is the hadith innama al-a'malu binniyat. This is reported by Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab. This hadith reported only by Umar ibn Khattab. He's the one who heard it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then from him others, okay, reported it. And this is called gharib, and it is type of ahad, but it is authentic. You'll find this hadith in every book of the fiqh, and the jurists are using it. Okay. So the bulk, the majority of the hadith are ahad, not mutawatir. So these deviant sects, the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiyyah and others, concocted and invented this bid'ah that in order to get rid of the ahadith that refute them and expose their deviance and their misguidance, they said, oh, these ahadith are ahad, so we will not accept them and apply them for issues of the belief. So today we will continue, inshallah, addressing this issue. Such belief yields evil consequences. And you are going to hear now. The evil consequences and the evil fruits of such belief when you reject the ahadith of Ahad. Among these evil consequences and dreadful consequences, رد الأحاديث النبوية في العقائد والأمور الغيبية والاقتصار على القرآن فقط. This is number one. That if you abide and hold such belief, then you will reject all the prophetic traditions. All the prophetic traditions that are mentioned related to issues of belief, ideological issues, or theological issues, and issues related and matters related to the unseen, because there are many, many ahadith which are ahad talking about the ghaib, about Jannah, about the nar, about the hellfire, about heaven. So if you only hold that you will follow, accept the ahadith which is a mutawatir, then you will reject all these ahadith. And to say the Quran is enough for us. And this is another bid'ah. Though apparently it sounds okay. The Quran is, yes, the Quran is everything. Everything in the Quran, that's true. But you need the Sunnah to explain the Quran. And that's the role of the Prophet ﷺ, to explain the Quran to us and to teach it to us. So the Sunnah is there explaining the Quran. It explains the Quran. Without the Sunnah, you'll not be able to pray, you'll not be able to perform the Hajj, you'll not be able to perform the give the zakah, you will not be. So the Sunnah explains the Quran. So the Sunnah, the Quran, gave us just headlines. Okay? Aqimu salah. Establish the prayers. How? How should I pray? Those who call themselves, we follow only the Quran. Ask him, teach me the salah only from the Quran. Teach me. I will not be able to teach you the salah from the Quran. Teach me about the zakah, the amounts that I have to give. How much should I give? When I am obligated to give the zakah, what's the minimum requirement? Minimum amount of money I should have? Open the Quran, teach me. The Sunnah mentions all these things. Quran says, atu zakah. Teach me how to perform Hajj. Because Allah says, لِلَّهَ عَلَى النَّاسِ حَجِّ الْبَيْتِ مَنَ اسْتَطَاعَ عَلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. That's it. It's incumbent upon mankind to perform the pilgrimage and to come to the house of Allah. What should I do? What are the rituals? What are the rites? It's the Sunnah. So you can see now, if you reject the Sunnah, if you reject the Hadith and the majority of the hadiths which are ahad, you'll not be able. Also, among the evil fruits of this bid'ah, you will reject even some mutawatir hadith that reported by the companions of the Prophet. Ahadith that are related to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the attributes of Allah. And the Ummah received that and accepted it and believed in it. So if you say, I will only accept hadith if it is mutawatir, and even if it is mutawatir in the sense that the Ummah accepted it and no one rejected that such a narration, then you will be, inevitably, you will reject all this. A hadith that talk about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And rejecting the names of Allah and the attributes of Allah is a great loss. You deprive the people of knowing their Rabb, their Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. And the most beautiful names belong to Allah. So call upon him by his names. So if you reject the names of Allah that are mentioned in authentic ahadith, you are rejecting Allah's names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why, without knowing, this is one of Allah's blessings which he bestowed on us, that he taught us his names. And he taught us his attributes. So we know him. So we know him, he's Ghafoor, he's Rahim, he's Wadood, he's Shakur, all these things. We know his attributes, we know he's seeing us, we know he hears us, we know all the attributes of action and attributes of person which he mentioned about himself. So if you reject the ahadith of ahad, you will reject all these things. So then you will not know your Rabb. As Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, he said, the Jahmiyyah, they are actually highway robbers. They are thieves. They are thieves, highway robbers. They are blocking and stopping the travelers to Allah to know him. Because knowing Allah through his names and attributes, the traveler to Allah will be able to travel because he knows his Rabb. Now you are depriving them of having such knowledge. So you are blocking them and preventing them from accessing this ahadith, which will enrich them, which will enliven their hearts and bring about the love in their hearts and make the hearts yearn to travel to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you don't believe in this ahadith, then your heart will be dry. And this is the case, true. All the people of bid'ah, they have this. If you reject the sunnah of the Prophet, that light is taken away, the light of the sunnah. And you'll be wandering and you don't know, blindly. You have no light, you have no guidance. But if you know the sunnah and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know your Rabb, the one you worship. You know what he loves. You know what he wants from you. Well, hadith al-Nuzul, one of the beautiful ahadith talks about Allah, is the divine descent of Allah every night. This hadith of the descent of Allah. Allah descends every night. In the last third of the night. And he asks, is there anyone wants anything? Is there any sinner wants me to forgive him his sins? Did anyone wants anything? And this is an attribute of action. Sifa fi'liya, Allah descends. So he said in the Quran, on the day of resurrection, he will come. وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. Allah, on the day of resurrection, he will come along with the angels who will be in rows. Do you reject that and you say Allah will not come when he said he will come? You see the problem with all these deviant sects, that they had a problem here in their minds. When they read the ayah, when they read the hadith, immediately they start forming mental pictures. So they started to imagine. That's their problem. And in order to get rid of this satanic whispers and these mental images, they reject the apparent meaning of the hadith or the ayah. And they say, no, it doesn't mean this, so we have to render it, we have to interpret it metaphorically. Because they say Allah is not like anything, so he cannot be like this, as if they know Allah better than himself. Had they respected their little minds, and had they abided by following the revelation, the Quran and Sunnah, as it was understood by the Prophet ﷺ and his companions and the three generations, they would be guided and they would have been guided. But they didn't tread on that path. They chose another path, the path of the philosophers. Their teachers were the Greek philosophers, but their masters, Aristotle, Socrates, Plato, not what the Prophet said. That's why they went astray. And many of them, they regretted towards the end of their life. Juwayni, Yahrastani, Ar-Razi, all of them. Ilm al-Kalam made their hearts very hard, confused. So towards the end of their life, they were crying and turning to Allah and begging him for forgiveness. Shahristani, rahimahullah, said, لَعَمْرِي لَقَدْ طُفْتُ فِي تِلْكَ الْمَعَاهِدِ كُلِّهَا وَسَيَّرْتُ طَرْفِي بَيْنَ تِلْكَ الْمَعَالِمِ فَلَمْ أَجِدْ إِلَّا وَاضِعًا كَفَّ حَائِرٍ عَلَى دَقْنٍ أَوْ قَارِعًا سِنَّ نَادِمِ. SubhanAllah. He said, by Allah, I have visited all the different schools of philosophy. تلك المعاهد, all the schools of philosophy. وسيرت طرفي بين تلك المعالم. I studied philosophy thoroughly and I studied the different schools. I didn't find, فلم أجد إلا واضعا كف حائر. This is the cup. I found only people placing their palms under their chips, chins. When you're not confused, you're like this. This is what I found. People are confused. فلم أجد إلا واضعا كف حائر على ذقن أو قارعا سن نادم or tapping his teeth out of regret. Confused. So when you read in about the philosophers, they are confused. They don't know. One of them, maybe I think Aristotle, he said, one thing I know, I'm sure of, is that I don't know. I don't know. That's what I'm sure of. I don't know. So this is what Shahrastani said towards the end of his life. Imam Sanani, when he refuted him, and he said, لَعَلَّكَ يَا أُسْتَاذُ مَا زُرْتَ أَحْمَدَ رَسُولَ الْهُدَى الْمَبْعُوثِ فِي خَيْرِ هَاشِمِي مِنْ خَيْرِ هَاشِمِي فوالله لو زرته في الدهر مرة من خير هاشمي فما حار من يهدى بهدي محمد ولست تراه قارعا سن نادمي. إمام الصنعاني وانه wrote سبل السلام explaining بلوغ المرام by الحافظ ابن حجر عسقلاني. He said, لعلك استاذ ما زرت احمد رسول الهدى. There is one school you didn't visit. You omitted. You went to the schools of Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, all different schools, and you forgot one school. You didn't visit. لعلك يا أستاذ ما زرت أحمد. You didn't visit أحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, his school. المبعوث من خير هاشمي, who's sent, and Allah chose him from the best clan of Quraysh, Banu Hashim. Had you visited him, you wouldn't have been confused, perplexed. فَمَا حَارَ مَنْ يُهْدَى بِهَدِّي مُحَمَّدٍ. You will never find him confused, the one who's guided by the guidance that Muhammad brought, صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَلَسْتَ تَرَاهُ قَارِعًا سِنَّ نَادِمِي. And you will never find him tapping his teeth out of regret. Imam al-Razi, he said, نهاية أقدام العقول عقال وغاية سعي العالمين ضلال وأرواحنا في وحشة من جسومنا وغاية دنيانا أذى ووبال. ولم نستفد من بحثنا طوال عمرنا سوى أن جمعنا فيه قيل وقالوا. See, this is what the evil fruit. When you shun the wahi and you desert it. He said, Nahayatu iqdam al-uqul aqal. He said, the audacity of the minds. When you rely on your minds and you give your minds green light to do whatever you want. The aql, my dear brothers and sisters, in It's called aql. Why? You know the meaning of aql? Aql from aqala means to restrain, to hold back. Aql al-ba'ir, when you stop the movement of the camel by tying its hands. So the aql is this faculty that will make me refrain from doing the wrong things. So he's saying, نَهَايَةُ اقْدَامِ الْعُقُولِ عَقَلُ. See, the final, the ultimate results that we achieved by following and just rely on the rationale and our minds, we reached a state of confusion. We became lost. We don't know. نَهَايَةُ اقْدَامِ الْعُقُولِ عَقَلُ. وَغَيَّةُ سَعِيِ الْعَالَمِينَ ضَلَالُ. And most of the endeavors and the initiatives and the works of mankind is guidance. They are lost. All these works and different theories and opinions, and they lead you astray. They lead you astray. وَغَيَّةُ سَعِيِ الْعَالَمِينَ ضَلَالُ. The ultimate result, misguidance, deviation. This is a man talking out of experience, Razi. When you let your mind do whatever the mind wants, and you plunge and you push the mind into an area that doesn't belong to it, you take it out of its domain and push it into an area the mind has no clue about it, which is issues related to the unseen. The aql, the mind, functions, works only within this tangible material world. That's it. If we take it out of this domain, then it will give erroneous ideas and results, and you will be confused because you are expecting the mind to help you, and the mind indeed is helpless. وَغَايَةُ سَعْيِ الْعَالَمِينَ ضَلَالُ. Then he said, وَأَرْوَاحُنَا, our souls. Inside, we have this inner struggle. Philosophy will not give you yaqeen, serenity now, will not give you surety. You will be always in that state of doubt. That's why you hear, well, there's nothing called absolute truth, haqiqa mutlaqa, things are relative. And the problem that Muslims are saying this nowadays, things are relative. Yeah, this is your perspective. Things are subjective, not objective. Now, there is absolute truth. And that's what Allah said. Allah said is the absolute truth. حق المطلق. فماذا بعد الحق إلا الضلال, Allah says. What is after the haq, the truth, except misguidance? So what Allah said, that's the haq, no doubt. So he's saying, وَأَرْوَاحُنَا فِي وَحْشَةٍ. our hearts are in a state of wildness. There's no peace. There's no serenity. في وحشة من جسومنا. There's no harmony between our hearts and minds. There's no harmony. There's no inner peace. There's this lack of comfort, lack of peace inside, inner struggle. See, the beauty of Islam, it gives you that calmness, peace of mind. You feel happy. There is nothing. You see, the Islamic teachings, they all make sense. Very simple. No complexity, nothing. No need for you to study philosophy in order to understand the ayat of Allah and the hadith of the Prophet. No, very simple Islam. So sweet. A man would come, Bedouin, from the desert, and he would say the Shahada, and in few minutes, the Prophet teaches him what he needs, and he would go back to his family. That's it. Nothing more than that. The Bedouin who came and said, "Oh, Prophet of Allah, teach me about Islam so that I will not need to ask anyone else." So he told him 5 prayers a day, unless you want to add more, you want to make nafil. He said, no, 5 is okay, enough. I will not add 1 single rakah. I will not add. Then Hajj once lifetime, Ramadan once, 1 month per year. So he told him the pillars of Islam, and he said, "Oh, Prophet of Allah, I will never add or reduce." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Sadaqa, aflaha an sadaq." He will succeed and he will be successful if he is telling the truth. Very simple. This is our Islam. No need to talk to you about logic and all the logical rules. See? Because the problem with the people nowadays, it's not issues here. Yes, you might convince me rationally, logically, by applying the rational rules and logical rules. Yeah, but still I will not be convinced because there is something else you didn't address, and that is here. I believe. Yes, Trinity doesn't make sense, but I accept it because I feel Jesus Christ. See, this is how the Christians talk. Don't rationalize with me and use all this your logic. I feel it. When I need something, I cry to Christ and he helps me. Of course, Shayateen. Okay. I saw Christ. Christ came to me. All these things, Shayateen, they come to them. But that's what he feels. So people, they just want something to touch their hearts. That's why this is what explains many of the reverts that become Sufis. Why they become Sufis? Because they, when they go there, they find something similar. Songs, nasheed, and things touching their heart and softening their heart. So that's why they follow Sufi orders or Sufi tariqa. So he's saying here, Razi, wa arwahuna, our souls, fi wahsha. is no serenity. There's no peace of mind. وَوَرْوَاحُنَا فِي وَحْشَةٍ مِنْ جُسُومِنَا وَغَيَّةُ دُنْيَانَا أَذَابُ وَوَرْأَهْلُ. What we have gained throughout this journey, أَذَابُ وَوَرْأَهْلُ. Pain, agony, suffering, and evil consequences. وَلَمْ نَسْتَفِدْ مِنْ بَحْثِنَا طِوَالَ عُمْرِنَا. We did not benefit anything of this lengthy research that we spent our prime youth for doing it. Except that جمعنا فيه قيل وقال, we compiled and collected different conflicting views. So they said this, they said that. This one said this, this one refuted him and said that. That's what we gained. This is what Al-Razi said. Then he said, and when I came to the Quranic methodology, it is simple, convincing. I read regarding the negation, laysa kamithlihi shay. There's nothing like unto him. This is regarding the negation. So Allah is not like anything we know. Then I read regarding the affirmation, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, and he is all hearing, all seeing. So this is the best methodology. Juwayni also. Juwayni. He said, when he was dying, ذَكَرَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا جُوَيْنِي. May your mother lose you, O جُوَيْنِي. If Allah forgives you not and showers his mercy in you, you will be ruined. هَا أَنَا ذَا أَمُوتُ عَلَى دِينِ عَجَائِزْ نَيْسَبُورِ. I am dying upon the belief of my mother and grandmother and the old women of Naisabur, which means the fitrah. That's what Juwayni Rahimallah said. So my dear brothers and sisters, those who, the deviants, Mu'tazila, and those are all the, I mentioned, towering figures, are Asha'ira. Okay? This is what the ilm al-kalam did to them. So when you reject the ahadith, then you will be rejecting Allah's names, Allah's attributes, the hadith about the divine descent, that Allah descends every night. Allah descends, yes, he said, Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said, Yanzil Rabbuna. Because now you see, if you want, this is what happens to them. They say, oh, Allah descends. So they are imagining a human descent. The human descent. So they want to visualize, and they cannot. You cannot. Why? This is something beyond the capacity of our gray matters, our minds. It's beyond it. They're not. That's why when the man came to Imam Malik, rahimahullah, and he said, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arsh istawa. Kayfa istawa? The question here is, scary. The man wants to know the manner and the how. كيف? How? He wants to know the manner, the how. That's why Imam Malik started sweating. Then he said, Al-Istiwa غير مجهول. the meaning of istiwa is known in the Arabic language, and we talked about it, which means to ascend and to rise above. Because he knew what the man meant. What the man meant is not to know the linguistic meaning, no. The man wanted to know the how Allah istawa, the action of Allah. So he told him, al-istiwa ghayr majhool. Wal-kayfu ghayr ma'qool. The how, the manner in which Allah istawa is not, cannot be, is inconceivable. We cannot conceive it. We cannot comprehend it. Well, imanu bihi wajib, and to believe that Allah's tawa is mandatory, obligatory. Wasu'alu anhu bid'ah, and to ask about the how and the manner is heresy, bid'ah, innovation. And then he said, told him, leave my circle. I think you are an innovator, or you are not more than an innovator. Because the man wants to know how. So if someone says, how does Allah descend? The answer, how is he? How is Allah? Because you want to know about this action and the attribute of the descent. So how is he? How is Allah? Because to ask about the attribute, you should know about the person who has this attribute, and that's Allah. So he has to say, Laysa kamithlihi shay, which is true, to say Alhamdulillah. And his actions are not like our actions. Very simple. So his descent is not like your descent. So chapter is closed. Like his existence, not like your existence. You exist, he exists. Is your existence like God's existence? No. He hears, you hear. Or you want all you, or you are, you want to say that he is deaf, he doesn't hear, and you hear. You hear, and God doesn't hear. But his hearing is not like yours. Your hearing is limited. His hearing is not, it's unlimited. He hears everything. You see, he says, your sight is limited. God's sight is not limited. He sees what is beneath the earth. What's in the belly of the earth, he sees it. He sees the worms in the inside the rocks, and he provides for them. Okay. So when you are reading about the attributes of Allah, just keep in mind the ayah, Laysa kamithlihi shay, wa huwa as-sami'u al-basir. Nothing is like unto Allah, and he's all hearing or seeing. So the same thing about this hadith, this divine descent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, no. What descends and what comes down? You see, what Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he explained this hadith in one book, Sharh Hadith al-Nuzul, beautiful. They are saying, what descends is his mercy, tanzilu rahmatu. His mercy descends, not the merciful. What? The rahmah, the mercy comes down, not the merciful. The hadith says, "Hal min mustaghfir wa aghfir lahu." Is there a mustaghfir? Anyone seeking forgiveness, I will forgive him. So our question to you, who forgives the sins? Al-Ghaffar or the attribute of the maghfirah? Who forgives? Of course, Al-Ghaffar, the forgiver. Not the forgiveness, forgives. The forgiver forgives. Who grants mercy? Mercy grants mercy to you? Or the merciful grants mercy to you and gives mercy to you? Okay. So the hadith is clear. Allah, yanzilu rabbuna. What's wrong with you? Do you know better than your prophet? Your prophet couldn't express himself. He couldn't say, or he was unable to say, Allah's mercy comes down every night. And he said, Yanzilu Rabbuna, our Rabb Yanzil, our Lord descends. Okay. So this is an action, an act, divine act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they say, but the third night of the third part of the night varies from one place to another. You say, yes. So what? It's not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So wherever it is the last third of the night, the divine descent takes place. But your problem, you are imagining a descent of a human being. That's your problem. So, wake up and remove all this rubbish from your mind. Also here, I would like to inform you that there's a man known as Ibn Battuta, a traveler, who traveled to many countries, and he wrote a book about the countries he visited. And he lied against Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. He said, I entered Damascus and I saw Ibn Taymiyyah delivering the khutbah sermon speech on Friday. And then he talks about the hadith of the descent. And he says, Allah descends like this, and he came down a few steps. This is a lie, fabricated. He fabricated and concocted it. Because when Ibn Battuta visited Damascus and entered Damascus, Ibn Taymiyyah was already dead. He died. So when you hear this, it is a lie against Ibn Taymiyyah. So they deny the hadith talks about the names of Allah, the attributes of Allah, the hadith about the descent, and the hadith about the ulu of Allah, Jalla Jalala. Because all they are ahad, ahadith. The hadith that talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi sama. Ar-Rahimun, Yarhamhum Ar-Rahman. ارحموا من في الارض يرحمكم من في السماء. Those who are merciful, those who are kind, Allah showers his mercy on them. ارحموا من في الارض, be kind and merciful towards those on earth, towards your brothers and sisters. يرحمكم من في السماء, the one who's in heaven will shower his mercy on you. And the ahadith about the istiwa are so many. So many. Aisha said, when Khawla bint Thalaba came to complain about her husband, she said, he was next to them. Part of the conversation, I heard part, I did it, and Allah heard her from above the seven heavens. Safiya, wife of the Prophet, he used to boast, okay, to the rest of the wives of the Prophet. He would tell Aisha, okay, who got you married? Who got you married to the Prophet? Your father. You, Hafsa. Who was your guardian? Who gave you your hand to the Prophet? Your father. Allah got me married to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He used to feel honored. And she used to tell the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, from above his throne, got me married to you. I think it was Zainab. Okay. So this wife of the Prophet was boasting, feeling happy, honored. Allah got her married to the Prophet. So the hadith about the ulu of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hadith of the Amr ibn Ma'ay ibn al-Hakam, which is in Sahih Muslim. Ma'ay ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami, he said, okay, I had a slave girl who was a shepherd, okay, and one day the wolf took one sheep, and I'm a human being, so I reacted, I slapped her. Then I came to the Prophet ﷺ, and I said, this is what happened, and this is what I did. So the Prophet ﷺ rebuked him, and he told him, then Muawiyah ibn Hakam said, should I set her free, emancipate her, to compensate and to expiate for my sin? He told him, bring this slave girl. And when she was brought, the Prophet ﷺ asked her, said, Ayn Allah, where is Allah? Said, Fis-sama. Then he asked again, who am I? Said, Anta Rasulullah, you are the messenger of Allah. Upon hearing that, the Prophet ﷺ told him, اعتقها فإنها مؤمنة. Set her free. She is a mu'mina. So the Prophet ﷺ is the one who asked the slave girls, Ayn Allah, where is Allah? And this issue I am addressing in detail in other classes. On Sunday, and on Saturday, and on Thursday, about the issue of the ulu and the istiwa. So Allah, he asked, where is Allah? And she said, Allah's in heaven. So if you reject the ahadith of the ahad, then you will reject all the ahadith related to the absolute highness of Allah, that Allah is above his creation, above his mighty throne, outside his creation. And then also you will reject the ahadith that mentioned the signs of the hour, but they are ahad. The ahadith of the hours that mentioned the minor signs and the major signs, ahadith. So you will reject that. When we are seeing all these prophecies mentioned in this ahadith, we are seeing the fulfillment of this ahadith with our own eyes. With our own eyes. And this it proves beyond any doubt that the Prophet said such a hadith. You see the hadith the Prophet ﷺ mentioned about the signs of the hour and the tokens of the hour. And ترى الحفاة العراة العالة رعاء الشاء يتطاولون في البنيان. You will see this among the signs of the hour. The barefooted, the naked, the Arabs, the shepherds of the sheep, competing with each other in constructing lofty buildings. Yeah, 100 years, 50 years, 70 years back, our fathers and forefathers, they were shepherds, Bedouin, running, no shoes, after their livestock, the sheep, the camels. Hardly you find shirt covering the upper part, only a piece of cloth covering from the waist to the knees. And today, they are competing with each other in constructing high towers, skyscrapers. You see, that's what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. And the Prophet ﷺ also mentioned that the hour will not come and establish until Arabia goes back and becomes and reverts into rivers and meadows. And see now, mashallah, Arabia, huh? Mountains are green, meadows, streams of water. You see the fulfillment. When he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, two types of people, I haven't seen them, they are going to come. Men, they carry whips in their hands like the tails of the cows, the right police in our time. And women dressed yet naked, we can see them. It was difficult for the companion to imagine this, but it's not difficult for us. We can see women dressed and naked at the same time. You see everything. Though she is putting something on, but it's not enough. Tight or transparent or short, dressed yet naked. The hairstyle, رُؤُسُهُنَّ كَأَسْنِمَةِ الْبُخْتِ الْمَائِلَةِ. The hairstyle is like the humps of the camels. See? The humps of the camel. So she would pile the hair, the bun on top of her head. Not just all, some they are styled like the humps of the camel. That's who you are seeing with your own eyes every day. They will not enter the Jannah. Nisa'un kasiyatun ariyat, women who are naked yet, dressed yet naked. Ma'ilat mumilat, when they walk, they are swaying their bodies and seducing men. And you are seeing that. So the hadith about the signs of the hour, the minor signs of the hour, a hadith about the Mahdi. And this is what we're going on now. Are clear indications that any time the Mahdi can appear, Christ will descend, Isa alayhi salam. All these are hadith, you will reject them. The hadith about the emergence of the Antichrist, you will reject that. When Antichrist, Ad-Dajjal is there. That's why every Muslim in his prayer is asking Allah in the Tashahhud to save him from the trial of a Dajjal. Fitna al-Masih al-Dajjal. Are you asking Allah to save you from something doesn't exist? Only fairy tales? No. Dajjal is there. He's locked and chained in an island. Then he will come out. And he will have followers, the Dajjal. The Antichrist. And he is the one who will be killed only by Isa alayhi salam. So when the Dajjal appeared, Isa descends alayhi salam. And Isa alayhi salam is going to kill the Antichrist, the Dajjal, in Lud in Palestine. And Isa alayhi salam will descend at dawn, Fajr prayer in Damascus. And he will find Muslims straightening their rows to pray. And the Imam would be the Mahdi. And the Mahdi, alayhi salam, would ask Isa alayhi salam to lead. He said, no. So he will pray behind the Mahdi. If you reject the hadith of the Ahad, then you will reject the hadith that talk about seeing Allah in the Jannah. And there are so many ahadith, Bukhari and Muslim and other books, talking about Allah will be seen in the Jannah. If you reject the hadith of Ahad, then you will reject the punishment of the grave or the torment of the grave, which is a reality. The Prophet ﷺ, he passed by two graves and he heard them being tortured and punished. And that's why you seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save you from azab al-qabr. If you reject the hadith of Ahad, then you will reject all the hadith that talk about the hawd al-kawthar of the Prophet ﷺ. See, this is what, when you divert from the straight path, you, shaitan, will take you miles and miles away from the haqq. So stick to the truth. Follow the footsteps of your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Follow what the three generations were upon. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast in this beautiful deen. Till we meet Allah and find Him, please all of us. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the beneficent knowledge and righteous deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our ummah to the haqq and bring them to the straight path. Ameen. And may Allah unite our heart on the haqq. Ameen. May Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakum Allahu khayra. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallahu khair, Sheikh Salem. We will go straight into the question and answers, inshallah. The first question, Sheikh. Yeah. Allah talks about the seven heavens. The first one has star planets. Is there any information what the other six heavens contain?
The first heaven is not what you see, the stars and the what you see, the stars, galaxies, our solar system, that's not the first heaven. Okay, this is something mind-blowing. We cannot imagine it. All this cosmos we see, it is nothing. It is included and encompassed by the Kursi, which is wasi'a kursiyyuhu samawati wal ardh. So there is a kursi that encompasses the seven firmaments and the whole creation. So there are seven samawas, seven firmaments, and each one has its inhabitants from among the malaika. And if you read the hadith of the Mi'raj, the Prophet ﷺ, he passed through all these heavens, samawat. That is by the will of Allah. Okay? If we want to use our minds, you need millions of light years. But by Allah, kun fayakun. That's why Surah Al-Isra, Allah says, Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. That started with Subhan. Glory be to him. It is the divine power of Allah. Alladhi asra bi'abdihi. So the Prophet was taken. Asra bi'abdihi layla. So Allah is the one who took his servant. The Prophet ﷺ said, Usriya bi. He didn't say, I traveled, I went. No, Usriya bi. Okay? In the passive form, Allah took him. So if Allah took him, chapter is closed. That's why Quraysh could not believe that. Quraysh could not believe it. He said, what? You went and came in one night? It takes us 1 month. They say, okay, we'll prove you wrong now. Describe Bayt al-Maqdis to us. Describe it. We've been there. We know Bayt al-Maqdis. You're saying you went to Bayt al-Maqdis last night, okay? Describe it. The Prophet ﷺ said, by Allah, when they asked me that question, I had no idea. I didn't go there to count how many doors, how many windows, and I was taken there. I tied the burqa, entered the masjid, led the salah, because Allah brought into life all the prophets. They prayed behind him. Then he was taken to heaven. So he said, Jibreel alayhi salam showed it to me. Bayt al-Maqdis appeared. Right? Nowadays, it's not difficult. You have life covering. You're sitting and you see the Bayt al-Maqdis in front of you through satellite, right? Is it difficult for Allah to do that? So Bayt al-Maqdis is now in front of him. So he started describing it to them. Describing Bayt al-Maqdis to them. And then he mentioned to them many things happened during his journey. And there is a caravan is going to come. And there is this camel leading the caravan. And I passed by them and they lost one camel. He mentioned all these things. Then he mentioned the Mi'raj, the ascension with Jibreel alayhi salam, and he would seek permission to enter the first heaven, second, etc. Till he reached Sidrat al-Muntaha, the Sidrat al-Muntaha, the loot tree there. He said, I could hear the movement of the pens, the sounds of the pens writing. And they saw veils of light, and Allah spoke to him. Okay, so this is something beyond the human capacity, the human mind capacity. So all what we see, we think it is, this is the first heaven. No, it's not. I hope this is clear to the question now.
Well, it is clear, Sheikh. We go to the next question. The next question is, how do we teach a teenager about fear of Allah when he has little fear of Allah but wants to have more fear? How to have sabr jameel?
The fear, first of all, we need to focus on how to build up the iman. The problem, my dear brothers and sisters, is the iman is weak. Iman is weak. So we have to talk to our children about Allah and make them love Allah. Love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should have a study circle in your home. You sit with your family, with your children. Study circle every day. 10 minutes, 15 minutes maximum. Get Riyad al-Salihin and read one hadith, two hadith every day. Let light enters this home. Talk, soften their hearts. Let them, this heart get attached with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with their creator. We need to develop the hub in the hearts of our children. Rekindle the amber of iman in their hearts. Not frightening them about the punishment of the grave and the hellfire and all that. When their iman is weak, then you know what? Teenagers, fairy tales. I don't believe that. So the issue is have a problem with iman. So we need to lay the foundation, the basics, back to basics, back to basics, and build the iman little by little, and be role models for your children as parents. Work on their iman. Take them during summer or umrah. Get closer to your children. Now he's a teenager, so he should be your friend as a father. He is your friend. Take him all the time with you. Make him feel that he is a man now. He's your right hand. She's reached the age of puberty, teenager. Mother, open your hearts for your daughter. Get them close to you. Let them confide in you. So when they have a problem, they rush to you and come to you for guidance. The same thing. Parents, fathers, do the same thing. So your son will come to you, Dad, I have this problem, I have this. What to do? Because there is mutual trust and he can confide in you. Okay? Because you know we worship Allah with two wings and we balance our spiritual journey to Allah between hope and fear. Not only fear or not only hope, both. Because there are group, there is a group of people who they worshipped Allah only out of fear, and those are the Khawarij. So they despaired of Allah's mercy. And there is on the other side another group that say God, like the Christian, God is love. Hub. And this you find some of the Sufis. One of them is saying, Allahumma, and they attribute this to Rabi'ah. Allahumma inni lam a'budka khawfan min narika wa la tama'an fi jannatika. Alakin a'badtuka la annaka ahlan lidaka. I didn't worship you, O Allah, because I'm afraid of your hellfire. She's not afraid of the hellfire. Or I'm coveting and yearning for your Jannah. No, no, no. I don't want that. I worshipped you because you deserve to be worshipped. And when you hear this, you say, Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Allah said about the prophets of Allah and messengers, they are worshipping Allah out of fear and competing with each other, yusari'una fil khayrat, and doing good deeds. And call upon Allah, raghaban wa rahaba, out of fear and hope. Is Rabi'a better than the messengers of Allah? Is Rabi'a better than, rahimahullah, if she said that? Is she better than the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who used to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah wa a'udhu bika min an-nar? Oh Allah, I ask you to grant me jannah, admission to the jannah, and save me and protect me from entering the hellfire. So, our Islam balance, hope and fear. And this is how you balance your flight, like a bird with two wings. So if you feel that you will commit sins because now you rely more on the mercy of Allah, they said, lower the wing of hope and raise the wing of fear so that you will refrain from doing haram. If you feel you are going to despair of Allah's mercy, lower the wing of fear and raise the wing of hope. And that's how you balance. And when you are in the breathing your last, dying, raise only the wing of hope. Forget about all your sins and everything. Don't think about anything except Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. We go to the next question. Sheikh, can you explain the rulings about dyeing the hair black?
Dyeing what?
Dyeing the, coloring the hair black.
Okay. There is a hadith which is authentic. And our Sheikh Muqbil bin Hadi al-Wadi'i, rahimahullah, he wrote a book on this matter, dyeing using the black dye. Okay, so dyeing the hair with black dye, making black color. And he mentioned many narrations, and he mentioned this hadith. It's there on the net. You can download all the books of Sheikh Muqbil, rahimahullah. And the hadith is very scary. The Prophet ﷺ said, a group of my people will come, who will use black dye. Like the bag of the bird, which is filled with the seeds. They will not enter the Jannah. Scary hadith. So, Muslim men should avoid the black color. The hadith mentioned Hinna and Katam. The Hinna, we know the Hinna, and the Katam is something brownish, dark brownish, dark brown. That's okay. But the black, avoid it. And it's the same for men and women. because the Hadith didn't make any exception, it should be avoided. That was the Hadith mentioned. And when he told that the father of Abu Bakr should be, his beard to be dyed, he told them, avoid the black color. Now, having said this, you will come across some opinions of ulama and fuqaha. They're saying, if you do this to deceive someone, then you should, it's not allowed. For example, an old man, he wants to propose to a young girl. You see, all his hair is gray, so he made everything perfect. Now, everything is black, looks young. He said, you should not do this because this is cheating. Okay. And they said, in war, in the battlefield, it's okay to die with black to frighten the enemies. So they see the soldiers are all having black beards, so they are young. But these are saying of the fuqaha and the ulama. But at the end of the day, are opinions. But what the Prophet said, that's what counts. That's what counts. So avoid dyeing and using the black dye. And always keep in mind, my dear brothers and sisters, the following simple rule. There are five rulings of the Sharia: haram, makruh, fard, sunnah, halal. You are, as a layman, normal person, you heard that two opinions about a particular issue. Some opinion saying haram, another saying it is makruh. What should you do? Leave it. It is win-win. Haram, I'm leaving it. Makruh, I'm leaving it. Makruh means Allah dislikes it. Why should I do it? Be on the safe side. Now, there are two opinions about a particular matter. One is saying it is fard, the other saying it is sunnah. Like, for example, the niqab. Is it fard or sunnah? You, as a sister, what should you do? Win-win. You want to be in the safe side. Put the niqab. Because if it is fard, you are doing it. If it is sunnah, you are doing it. You are not losing anything. And even those scholars who are saying it is sunnah, they will say, barakallahu feek. They will not criticize you that you put the niqab on, because that is the best, no doubt. So what remained? Halal. Halal is halal. If you do it, you will not be rewarded. If you don't, you will not be punished. If you do it, you will not be punished. If you don't, if you do it, you will not be rewarded. If you don't, you will not be punished. You can have your dinner or you can leave it. Keep this in mind always. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Sorry, the admin's battery has died. So if anybody sent a question to the Haramain host, can they please send it to me now?
There's echo.
Oh, I can't do anything about that. Let's see. Okay, Bismillah. Okay, I'll repeat again. If anybody sent any questions to the Haramain host, can they please send it to me? Thank you. Okay, Assalamu alaikum, dear respected Sheikh. Jazakallah khair. Since now you mentioned that even that Nabiyuna Isa, alayhi salam, shall descend at Fajr time, what are the extra speciality of these two rakat?
What are the other what?
The speciality of these two rakat.
Zakat?
Raka. When Isa at the Fajr, the two rakat for Fajr, what are the speciality of these two rakat?
Okay, I don't see what the questioner wants to say. There's no link between the descent of Isa and the Sunnah of the Fajr. But anyway, the Sunnah of the Fajr, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Rak'ata al-Fajr khayrun min ad-dunya ma fiha." This is the reward is so great that the two rak'as of Fajr, the Sunnah before the Fard, is better than the whole world, the whole dunya. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he would not miss the Sunnah of Fajr, whether he's resident or traveling, a traveler. Though we know that when you are traveling, you don't pray the Sunnah. The Sunnah, the regular Sunnah Rawatib, like the four rak'ah before Dhuhr and the two after and the two after Maghrib and the two after Isha, you don't. That the Prophet ﷺ didn't do that. Yes, the Prophet ﷺ, he would pray Nafil, that's okay. But not all these Sunnah, except the Sunnah of the Fajr. He would not miss them, whether he's resident or he's traveling. The same thing about the witcher also. He would not miss the witcher. So the reward of the two rak'ahs of the Fajr is so great. Khayrun min ad-dunya, better than the whole entire this world dunya and what it contains. Next question, please.
Jazakallah khair. Dear Sheikh, Assalamu alaikum. My daughter wears niqab. She is getting married. Alhamdulillah, the walima is totally segregated and guests have been told no personal photography. But I would like to know, are we, the parents of the bride, allowed to take some pictures for memory?
Take what?
Can we take some pictures of the bride? Can the parents of the bride take some pictures for memory and to commemorate the event?
I would not recommend that because there's no need for it. Next. Because the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, La'an Allah musawwirin. May Allah curse those who picture makers or those who take pictures, etc., because the taking pictures falls under this hadith. Only what happens, the tool is different. The tool. We are using camera now. Before, they used to paint, to make pictures. And if we say that because the tool is different, then the ruling will be different because the camera, we're using camera, so now it is halal. What about making images, making statues, okay? Using hammer and chisel, those were the sculpture. Is that okay? That is haram, okay? They say it is haram, fine. Nowadays, I don't need to have a hammer and chisel. I can just feed the raw material, the bulk, the iron rod or asbestos rod, okay, or plastic rod, to the lathe machine. And nowadays, the lathe machines are sophisticated and connected to the, they are programmed. So just hit the button and the program will do everything and you will get different types of products. Is it halal now? Because I'm not using the hammer and the scissors. Is it halal? The answer, no, it's not halal because the product is the same, irrespective of the tool used. So what you see when the people are saying photography is okay, it's not like painting, just because the tool is different. So if they say it's okay, it is fine, then they have to accept also making the different statues using the lathe machine. Because we are not using the hammer and the chisel. So that's why photography is only permitted and permissible if there is a need. If there is no need, it should be avoided. And remember, leave what you doubt to that which you don't doubt. Okay? And now you find, for example, some ulama is saying, okay, it's okay. So others saying it is haram. Stay away from it. Next question, please.
Okay, this is okay about that. Ahad Hadith, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What about those who only rely on Ahad Hadith?
How about what?
Those who only rely on Ahad Hadith.
Ahad Hadith.
Yes.
This is the all the Muslims, the majority of the Muslims, including the Prophet and his Sahaba, and the second generation, and the third generation, and the former Imams, all the Muslims, they accept the hadith of the Ahad, and of course the Mutawatir as well. We are talking about the deviant sects who are rejecting the majority of the hadith of the Prophet. And they say we will only accept mutawatir, which are very few. I hope this is clear. Next question, please.
Inshallah. Okay, the final question is how to have sabr jameel?
The good patience, this is tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you the beautiful patience. But this beautiful patience will not come just like that, because this needs training the nafs and building up the iman, because the sabr, there are three levels of sabr, three levels of patience. Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, the highest level of patience is sabr an al ma'asi. Okay. Sabr al ta'a, sorry, number one, sabr al ta'a. Then as-sabr an al-ma'asi, then as-sabr ala aqdar Allah al-mu'lima. The meaning, the first degree, and that's the highest level of sabr, as-sabr ala ta'a, to train yourself to do the good deeds and righteous deeds patiently. This needs jihad. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُ سُبُلَنَا. Those who strive for our cause, Allah said, I will facilitate and make it easy for them, the ways of khair and the ways of good. And this is the highest level. Then second level, as-sabra an al-ma'asiyah. You should have patience to refrain from committing sins. This is second level, refraining from committing sins. Third level is to have sabr, patience to endure and bear the painful calamities and decrees, divine decrees of Allah, the inflictions, what you are inflicted with. To have sabr. And that is level number three. And then he said, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, some people, when we try to apply these three categories and categorize the people, some people, to them, number one is easy. There's no problem of praying and regularly attending the salawat in the masjid. Doing good deeds, he has no issue with that. His problem is level number two. He cannot resist a particular sin, shahwa. So that's his problem. So he needs to work on that. Some people, level one and two is okay, no problem. But he cannot have patience if he is examined and tested and put through trials. He fails. Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah, he mentioned, he said, some people Allah tested them and we heard kufr. They were uttering statements which are blasphemous. He said one of them, he had one child and the child died. When people came to give condolences, they heard him saying, Why did you take my son? He is my only son. And he said, this man was always there in the first row in the masjid. So he's complaining, why did you take my son? He's my only son. My neighbor has many sons. Another one was saying, he said, we heard him saying, because he was sick, so he was objecting and complaining and saying, لِمَ تُعَذِّبْنِي? Why are you punishing me? Talking about Allah. So they failed in the level number three. So you know where you fall, which one is your type of patience is difficult for you, and work on it. And you need to have all this. And then you will achieve the sabr jameel, where you'll have this beautiful sabr, inshallah. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Inshallah, beautifully explained. Assalamu alaikum, dear Sheikh. Can you explain if my uncle's wife is breaking my wudu or mahram?
Would you mind repeat and articulate things slowly?
Okay. Can you explain if my uncle's wife is breaking my wudu or mahram?
She's not mahram. The wife of your uncle, she is not mahram. If your uncle divorces her, you can marry her. And it seems that the questioner is Shafi'i, because he's saying, breaks my wudu. Because in the Shafi'i madhab, if you touch the hand of a woman who is not mahram, your wudu will be nullified. So she is not mahram. And according to Shafi'i madhab, your wudu will be broken. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Jazakallah khair, inshallah, it's clear. And that was the final question.
Barakallah.
If you'd like to finish.
Barakallah feekum, jazakumullah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, bless your family, protect you, protect your family, and may Allah elevate your status in this world and in Jannat al-Na'im. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. And may Allah keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen till we meet Allah. Until we meet Allah and find Him pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah guide our ummah to the haqq. May Allah unite our hearts in the haqq. Until we meet, inshallah, in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Bihibbullahi wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.